together. Today we're going to be just looking at Colossians 2:8 and just a couple of other verses, peripheral verses that go along with it, as we're talking today about staying the course. In our cultural moment we live in today, there's a lot of voices coming at us. There's a lot of perspectives coming at us. And unfortunately, I think some of those have crept into the church. And God has a lot to say about his word and truth as he defines it in his word. And so today, we're going to look at staying the course. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read just one verse this morning. And here's what it says. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be fully in, fully committed, fully invested in your work in our lives. And God, may we give you the glory, honor, and praise. And may we not be led astray by philosophies and empty deceit according to the elemental traditions of this world and not according to the Spirit of Christ. So God, just be with us today. Help our minds to be focused on you and your word and what you're doing in our lives. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So as I was preparing, I was thinking, you know, can a believer be led astray by philosophy and empty deceit? It seems like, you know, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the kingdom in our hearts. But yet, can a believer be led astray by philosophy and empty deceit? You know, the author of Hebrews says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. There's warnings that are there. Paul went and told us in our text for today, don't follow the philosophies and empty teachings that are there today. Sarah and I, when we lived out in Arizona, the pastor of the church that we went to, he took us to breakfast one morning and he shared with us a little bit about his story coming to Christ. And he had been in Christ for probably 5 or 10 years as a younger man. He had children by that point in the home. But they ended up in Oregon at a church where the pastor of that church was almost like a cult. In other words, that church didn't want the followers of that church even talking to other Christians of other denominations. He didn't want members of the church doing any official business, having a job or a business, unless you worked only with members of that church. And so this, why I say it was almost like a cult, is because he finally came to himself, if you will. He finally got into the word and found out that this isn't right. Whatever's being taught here isn't quite right. And he tried to get his family to leave the church. He went to the pastor of the church. He said, nope, that's not happening. That's not going to happen. It got to the point where his wife and kids actually stayed in the church for a little while longer while he left. And he was praying for his family that we've got to get out of this church. They were brainwashed in the things that they were believing. Ultimately, he finally did get them out of the church that they were in, that particular church, and he ended up going and being a pastor for a number of years. But you know, this is a solid man of God who was, his family was led astray for a season by some of these strange teachings. You know, you look at the book of Galatians as well, right, to the church there. And Paul is amazed at how quickly people in Galatia are turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. In fact, when you think about what they were leaving Jesus Christ. They were leaving God himself to turn to something that was contrary to the truth. Church, we have to be on guard. We have to be intentional about focusing our mind and attention on Christ and not just going along with the flow of the culture today, because the culture is going to deceive us in all ways. In fact, just this last week, I was listening to a podcast, and I would encourage you to listen to this podcast. It's called The World and Everything in It. It's a Christian podcast that they recap things going on in the world today during the week. But one of the commentators of the podcast said that today astrology is making a huge comeback amongst the young people, like 16 to about 30 years old today. Believe it or not, what we saw in the newspapers years ago and we thought, ah, there's nothing to it. It's making a comeback. In fact, Etsy, right? The platform Etsy is selling, they're having seers, right? S-E-E-R. They're having seers that are blessing people for a price tag of $7 to $200 to either remove barriers in their life or praying for sunny days at their child's wedding. But people are paying hundreds of dollars to turn to seers to stop these things from happening or giving them blessings. But it was interesting, and I find this interesting as well, that even in the absence of organized religion, it's in the heart of man to still want to worship and desire religion, right? We live in a cultural age where maybe not a lot of people are interested necessarily in the gospel and truth, but they're not running from spiritual things because there's a spiritual component in our heart that we were made, and people are still running to spiritual things. And my hope and right our desire is that people would run and turn to Christ. But it's not anything new, right? We saw the Israelites do this in the Old Testament while they were wandering around making golden calves while Moses is up on the mountain. And the same thing was true fast forward hundreds of years when Paul was preaching in Rome, and look what was going on in Rome. Right? In Romans 1, we see the downward spiral of man. And we know that in the cultural moment we live in today, none of this stuff that we're seeing today is new. It's the heart of man is broken, and philosophies and empty deceit have taken man's heart captive. Right? Because when you look at Romans 1, which I love Romans 1 because it really shows the heart of man. Right? Paul says a couple verses prior that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Right, for it's the power of salvation unto those who would believe, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But then just a couple verses later, as he's preaching through Romans, or as he's leading them, he says, in verse 21, they knew God, yet they did not honor him. And the reality is, in the heart of man, he knows there's a God. He knows the right thing to do, yet he does not honor him. And then his thinking becomes futile, and his heart becomes foolish. And then in 22, we become fools. And then in verse 23, we exchange the glory of God for images. So rather than worshiping the Creator, we start to worship created things. Now back then, that might have been Asherah poles or anything like that. Today, it might be football. Today, it might be whatever anything is. It might be cars. It might be food. It might be anything. But we start to worship the created rather than the Creator. And so what does God do? He doesn't just automatically intervene and say, nope, stop. He gives them over to their lusts. And then they change their relations from natural relations to unnatural relations. And men start to pursue other men. Women start to pursue other women in sexual ways. And he gives them over to their lusts. And then it says that man totally and utterly becomes filled with unrighteousness. And then verse 32 really encapsulates our modern culture today, doesn't it? It says in verse, and I just really, this verse popped off the pages to me within the last year or so, but the reality is this, that they know the right thing that they should do, but they give hearty approval to doing that which is evil. That's the world that Paul lived in his day, and that's the world that we live today. But God has given us this culture, right? Just like Esther, for such a time as this, she came to prominence. God has given us this cultural moment that we are to preach Christ, who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But there are some things in our culture today that just seem to be everywhere, and we don't know what to do. And I think that's true for the church a lot of times, is we don't know what to do regarding these cultural things that are out there today. Marriage, what is it? How do we define it? What is the purpose of marriage? Our culture really struggles with understanding what the purpose of marriage is today. Right? Alternative lifestyles that are contrary to God's will, such as the LGBTQIA+ lifestyle. Right? Isn't it just okay to live your best life? You do you. As long as you're happy, that's all that should matter anyway. I'm just doing the things that make me happy. And you know, I don't want to talk about these things, but the reality is there are denominations today in this world, especially in the West, especially in America, that have wholeheartedly dove into accepting these norms to the point that leadership are accepting these things within the church and saying that it's right and that it's okay. The reality is that's not what God designed. That's not how God created it. And these lifestyles are contrary to God's word. And the church is being infiltrated with this as well and doesn't have a good answer to how to help people and how to assist people that are walking down that path. What about young people that are discontent in their bodies that God gave them, right? Is it okay to just take pills and perform surgeries to make our children feel better about themselves, right? Is that what's best? What do we do with that information as a church? Because we know these things are happening in our world, in our society. And I've got a news flash for you. The reality is most kids who want to undergo these surgeries or transition have underlying mental health issues that are not being dealt with. So instead of dealing with that which needs to be helped for the kid, we're saying that we should take healthy bodies and make them unhealthy for the rest of their lives, not understanding the implication that this is going to have for a kid 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And that's what we're doing. Get this. I just saw yesterday, I'm reading a book called Raising Gender Confident Kids by Dr. Jeff Myers. I couldn't believe this. I was absolutely and utterly shocked. The hashtag trans, as of January of 2025, has 50.2 billion clicks. Hashtag trans, 50.2 billion, not million, not thousand, but 50.2 billion clicks. Our culture needs help. Our culture needs the church, and our culture needs the church to be the church. But how often do we even consider and address and confront these matters? It's almost like, you know, we don't want to talk about them, and so we don't talk about them, even though we know, even in this room, there are people who are dealing with these types of matters that they don't have the answers to, and they're looking for hope. They're looking for somebody to help address these cultural issues. And we know we're not going to get solid advice from mainstream communications. Let me give you one quick example of this. Grok 4. And some of you in here are like, I have no, are you talking about Gronkowski? No. Grok 4, which is Elon Musk. I think everybody in here has probably heard of Elon Musk. But Elon Musk's X platform, which used to be Twitter for those of us that are a little bit older, but the X platform, it's his AI component, artificial intelligence component. It's called Grok 4. Answers in Genesis, the Canadian branch of it, they put one of their smartest scientists to the test and had a conversation with Grok 4. And the conversation began with, I want you to use mathematical assumptions and use logic and reason when you give me your answers to these questions. And the question, they gave just two specific questions. And the questions pertain to the origin of life and evolution and could there be an intelligent designer? And when using scientific principles and mathematical calculations and data, even Grok 4 came to the conclusion that an intelligent design creator is the only way that makes sense for life to be in existence in this universe. He stopped the conversation with Grok, and he said, I want you to disregard everything that we said and the parameters that I gave you, and I want you to pretend as if you've never heard from me before, and this is a brand new conversation. And he asked Grok, where did life begin? Through evolutionary processes is the agreed-upon consensus of what science says about how life began on this earth, through evolutionary chains and evolutionary processes. So when our kids go and ask questions to these artificial intelligence platforms and programs, if they don't know the right questions to ask, guess what answers they're going to get? Mainstream science says that life began through evolutionary processes through millions and billions of years, even though when you use science and mathematical probabilities, only an intelligent designer makes sense. Where do our kids go for advice these days? They go online. They go to all these different venues rather than to those who are wise, and I understand it. It's a tough world that we live in today. But the thing is as we consider humanity, right, as we consider these topics, we need to understand that we have to begin with God's word. Uh-oh. Did something? Are we good? Okay. If you weren't woken up, you are now, that's for sure. But here's what we have to understand as a church, and these are the things why I say that we have to stand on truth. We can't stand on the truths of today. We have to stand on God's truth, right? We need to understand that God is the creator of all things and we are not God. As a church, we need to understand that we are not God. We need to understand that the Bible says that male and female, he created them. We are made in his image and he made us male and female. We are told that we are to leave our mothers and fathers and we are to become husbands and wife, living a monogamous, loving relationship the way that God had intended and designed, because that's the best way for raising children and perpetuating the human race that God has ordained. We need to understand that he has given us dominion over all things on this earth. We also need to understand that man rebelled and the relationship with God was strained. That's the reality. And we need to understand that man's heart is evil and wicked, that he needs a savior to be redeemed, and that God is working out all things for good to those who love him and will one day restore all things to himself. The truth is that we have to live coherently, with conviction, and unapologetically set apart as unto the Lord. When we start bowing to the whims of the cultural moment that we live in today, we lose the emphasis on God's truth. We lose that emphasis, and people walk away confused because the culture today wants to believe in my truth, not the truth. It ends up being that our lived experiences shape how we view the world, and sometimes this creeps in inside of the church, right? These are the things that you may have heard people say. I know the church says marriage is between a man and a woman, but I know people who see it differently and they're happy. So I don't know what to believe. God wants me to be wealthy and healthy, so I need to trust that God will always bless me with finances or health. I personally am not in favor of this or that view, but what gives me the right to impose my view on another person? And you know, the problem that I have, especially with that last one, right, is that our actions reveal what we give approval to. When we're not willing to lovingly, not cantankerously, but when we're not willing to lovingly stand for truth and let it be known that there's a contrary view to the ways of the world, that God has a plan and a loving plan for you, we're actually, by our inaction, we're actually giving hearty approval to that behavior. And we're saying that it doesn't really matter. You go ahead and do what you want to do. I'm gonna do something here that's gonna require a little vulnerability. These are not the only two things in society today that matter when it comes to walking with Christ or not walking with Christ. But these are two things in our society today that are incredibly prevalent in the world around us. And what I want us to see by the solidarity of folks in this space right here is that there are a lot of people that we know that we need to be praying for that need the hope of the gospel. And we know to stay the course that we need to be in prayer. So I'm gonna ask you to do something. It's a little bit vulnerable here. I'm not gonna pinpoint you specifically, but I want you to, if you would, and keep your hand raised, if you would. But would you please raise your hand if you personally know someone who is living a life within the LGBTQIA+ community? Would you raise your hand for me, please? Keep it up, keep your hand up. I'm not gonna ask you to raise both hands, but just keep one hand up. I'm gonna ask you one more question. Raise your hand if you're comfortable, if you know someone personally who's had an abortion. Does anybody? Okay. Just look around for a second and keep hands up for both. Keep hands up for both. I want you to look around. I want you to understand that you can put your hands down now. Thank you for being honest and thank you for being vulnerable with me for just a moment. Because I want you to understand that we all have people that we can be praying for, that we need to be praying for, that are living a lifestyle That's contrary to what God's word says. And ultimately, at the end of the day, our aim and our ambition is for all people to be in a right relationship with him. So I just want to encourage you, even this week, to be praying for those opportunities. And when it comes to these topics, and I know this is heavy and it's tough, but as parents, right, our first priority is to our children. Helping them understand this truth in context is critical. When we think of marriage, what does God's word say, right? Ephesians 5:31, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. God has a great plan when it comes to marriage. When it comes to life, the Bible's clear, right? While yet in my mother's womb, he knew me and he formed me and he knitted me together. But the philosophies of today, and again, I just want you to hear this. I know it's tough and I know it's not easy, but just hear me out. The reality is that it's not just a clump of cells inside of a woman's body. It's not a tumor that should be removed from a woman's body. Every child in the womb has its own DNA. It's not the same as the mom. It's not the same as the dad. It's the child's DNA. And in the womb is when human development begins. This is when life begins. So we've seen philosophies of our culture today that are not easy. These are not easy things. These are not easy things. But there are philosophies and there's empty deceit out there that Paul also goes on to say that are of the elemental things of this world and not focused on Christ. When we think about empty deceit, we look at the church today. Right, and we think, Darren has talked about this previously as well, but things like progressive Christianity, moving into this age, you've probably heard of things like progressive Christianity. You've probably heard of things like deconstruction of faith and removing all historical accounts of what the church used to stand for and now going in a separate direction. This is not by unintentionality. This is very intentional about where a lot of these churches are going. In fact, my son was going to a church a while back and they started some of these strange teachings. And rather than say, no, you can't ever go back, I said, Jack, you should read this. You should read something. And I gave him something to read. And he looked at it and he said, Dad, that's exactly what this church was teaching. It was teaching stuff that was contrary to the scriptures. And he said, Dad, my heart is such that I want to pray for this church. I said, yes. Right, it's not a judgmental type thing, but we have to be understanding that God's word is true. There's a lady named Elisa Childers who's an author. She's a commentator on worldviews, and she almost deconstructed her own faith. But she'd had an article recently, and she said things that you might see stated in the church today, and we need to be careful of this. Right? The Bible is just a human book. I disagree with Paul. The Bible condones immorality, so we're obligated to reject what it says in certain places. The Bible contains the Word of God, not that it is the Word of God. Right? A heavy emphasis on feelings over substance. The Bible verse doesn't resonate with me. I thought homosexuality was a sin until I met and befriended some gay people. I just can't believe Jesus would send good people to hell. Right? A less emphasis on doctrine. The resurrection of Jesus doesn't have to be factual to speak truth. The church's historic position on sexuality is archaic and needs to be updated within a modern framework. The idea of a literal hell is offensive to non-Christians and needs to be reinterpreted. Right? And then this idea of redefining terms. God wouldn't punish sinners. He's love. Sure, the Bible's authoritative, but it's been misunderstood for the first 2,000 years of church history, so we can't follow it. It's not our job to talk to anyone about sin. It's our job just to love them. And then a big one today, and I'm not here to say anything other than when we focus on social justice as opposed to God's justice, because salvation is still in the need of the heart of every single person. It's about God's justice and his truth that we need in our lives. So how do we stay the course? And how do we avoid letting these philosophies and empty deceit not stir us and move us in a path or a direction that we ought not go. We need to pray. You and I have all just recognized that we know people in our lives that are struggling with the cultural nuances of today. We need to pray. We need to pray for them. We need to ask God to give us wisdom. We need to pray without ceasing, offering all types of prayers and petitions. So I would throw out a question. How is your prayer life? Who are you praying for? Who is God putting on your heart that you're praying for? And asking him to give you moments and opportunities to be the hands and feet of Christ to that person. Number two, are you believing that God can and will change circumstances? His word says that it will not return void. Either the rocks and hills will be crying out, or we will. And I hope it's us, that we will be faithful in sharing his word. Are we seeking conversations with believers to hear their story of God's faithfulness in redeeming their life? Remember that moment when you met your spouse, how excited you were to spend all of your time with your spouse? It didn't matter what time it was, you just wanted to spend more and more time with them. Remember when you came to know Christ, how excited you were, how passionate you were, how much you wanted to get into the Word and how much you wanted to know him? May we pray that God would bring that heart back to us now. Would you commit to listening to God? He's the creator of the universe. He created everything. He's established it all. He made us in his image. He's given us a creative mind to think. And it's our responsibility to utilize those gifts and talents for service to him. This past week, Sarah and I had the opportunity to watch a movie called Possum Trot. I don't know if anybody's had the opportunity to watch that yet. Absolute fantastic movie about a rural community in East Texas, I think back in the late 80s or early 90s, where they had a heart to foster and adopt children. The wife of the pastor was all in. The pastor himself was not all in. But when they heard the stories about what was happening to children in the foster community and happening to some of these kids that were hurting and broken in broken homes, the church prayed. The church got down on their knees. And in that little one tiny community of just a couple hundred people, over 78 kids were adopted or out of the foster system because the folks in the church who didn't even have any money at all, didn't know where the bills were going to be taken care of, adopted all of those kids. Because they listened to the voice of God. In a similar story back in the early 2000s, Pastor David Platt did the same thing in Birmingham, Alabama. He went to the county and asked, hey, how many kids are in the foster system? And the lady actually laughed at him because he said, I wanna adopt or foster all of those kids. The lady laughed, she said, there's 150. We have 150 kids in our county right now that need to be fostered or are looking for adoption. David Platt said, okay. He got prayed up. He went back to his church. In the next couple of weeks, he put a call out to the church to consider adopting or fostering these kids. He had 160 people show up wanting to adopt or foster the 150 kids that were in the system at that time. What's God saying to us? What's God saying for us to do? I don't know what it is. It may be that, it might not be that. But are we listening to God and what he wants us to do? And then finally, as we close, are we asking questions? Are we learning or are we growing? Maybe you've read through the Bible years ago and you're like, I know the Bible, I read through it. And so maybe your devotional life isn't really much in terms, I know the Bible, I got it. For me, that was kind of my attitude over the last couple years. I got this. I'm gonna do my daily verse and that's about it. But I decided to get into the Word, and I'm reading through the Word this year, chronologically reading through the Scriptures this year, and I'm loving it. I'm eating it up, and I'm more excited and more passionate about God's Word now than I was before, and I'm absolutely loving it. Are you ready and willing to grow? Are you ready and willing to learn? When you hear a strange teaching, when you hear a philosophy that doesn't make sense, when there's empty deceit that's being thrown your way, are you willing to ask a question like, yeah, that doesn't quite seem right? And are you taking it back to God's word, the one who loved us, created us, redeemed us, and made us his? Church, this cultural moment is what God placed us in. There are millions of competing voices other than truth. But our aim and our job and our goal is to point people to the cross and to that truth. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for how you move and how you work in our lives. And God, would you cause us to use the opportunities, the breath that we have in our lungs, the opportunities that we have right now, would you afford us the opportunity to, in love and with kindness and with compassion, to speak truth so that others may see that which is good, that which is true, and that which comes from you. God, would you work in our lives, and as we go from this place, would we be the hands and feet of the church this week and proclaim truth to a lost and dying generation? God, we love you and we thank you. In your son's name we pray, amen.